Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Anger Management Radio with Anuzza Bellissimo, Certified Anger Management Facilitator, providing expert advice for conflict resolution in the workplace, modern parenting strategies, and couples relationships, the official source of stress and anger management education. Here's Anuzza Bellissimo on Anger Management Radio.
Good morning. This is Anuzza Bellissimo coming to you live from the Stress and Anger Management Institute offices in Manhattan Beach, California. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in this morning or any time that you're listening to the program. I want to thank you for listening. And today, I am really actually very much ecstatic and really excited to introduce to you my guest. And before I get into all of that, I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page and remind you that October 9th is coming up quickly. October 9th, what is that day? That is Anger Awareness Event. So that's our education conference and awards ceremony, and we're going to be holding that at the Lux Hotel. And if you don't have your seat yet, make sure you register as soon as possible because we need you to be there. It's important that we have you there as a stand for anger awareness education, and we're even going to have an awards ceremony. So there's some fun involved. And as far as today's show, our topic is conscious parenting. Now, for those of you that know me and that have tuned into this show or that are fans, you know that that's one of my primary reasons for actually starting SAMI. And as a child who wasn't able to get the kind of communication skills necessary in order to really excel in adolescence and in adulthood, I think early adulthood, it really did affect the way that I grew up, and it affects the way that our children grow up. It affects everything about us, and it's so important that we take the time to make ourselves available for our children to help them heal, to help them be healthy, and Dr. Resnick is just amazing. I've been following her for quite some time, so you know I wouldn't bring anyone on here that wasn't important and dear to my heart, and their work really stands for something that is significant in this universe, and I want to say thank you before we even bring her on because I just am so glad to be able to interview her this morning. So I want to tell you a little bit about Dr. Resnick. Dr. Charlotte Resnick has dedicated her life really to helping children, adolescent parents, and professionals. She is a nationally recognized child and educational psychologist and associate clinical professor of psychology at UCLA, my favorite place where I went to school. And upon earning her PhD in educational psychology from the University of Southern California, she was honored with dissertation of the year for her work on the efforts of parental divorce on adolescents. So what does that mean? That means that really for her work that she's done in and around families of divorce, it's significant, and that's a whole other topic that is so important today, not only for our children, also to educate the parents as to the simple, healthy way to go through something at this significant of that nature. And for over 20 years, really, Dr. Resnick has pioneered therapeutic interventions with a wide spectrum of children. So responding with honoring intuition. So she's really in tune. So for those of you that are, you know, really looking for someone who has that intuition and can pick up on what's happening and can help guide you in the right direction with your children, she is amazing. And that's really what she does with children in of diverse needs, okay? Dr. Resnick is best known for creating imagery for children, and this is the fun part that we're going to get into today, breaking through for learning, creativity, and empowerment. And this highly insightful program that she has of guiding and interactive imagery with children, enhanced by music, relaxation techniques, drawing, journal writing, it can help all children achieve their highest learning potential, and most importantly, I believe, is develop their self-esteem and heal internal conflicts that reduce overall stress. And, you know, we're here at the Stress and Anger Management Institute, and that's our purpose, is to look at how we can assist our community, how we can assist globally in processing a lot of the inner turmoil and the conflict and the stress and the overall issues that relate to anger. Her audio program, Discovering Your Special Place and Creating a Magical Garden and Healing Pond, Soothing Guided Journey to Inner Peace, have been listened to and loved by young children. Listened to and loved by young children. Really, do you know how important that is in today's society, that our children have something that they can relate to and grow and learn from? Our adolescents and adults alike, she doesn't leave anyone out. You know, she has programs that really resonate with parents and your teens. These CDs lay the relaxing groundwork for Dr. Resnick's Imagery for Kids programs. Especially talented and uniquely qualified to share her work with others, Dr. Resnick has presented imagery for kids to thousands of professionals, psychologists, educators, and parents at local, national, and international level, and international levels. So she's also been featured on national television, published in professional and general journals and newspapers, and Dr. Resnick is sought after as a consultant, counselor, and healer, and of course, today after the SAMI group. And after you listen to her today, you're going to understand why I thought it was so important for her to be here this morning. So without further ado, with all of that fabulous introduction and everything that's available to us this morning, I'd like to introduce you to Dr. Charlotte Resnick. Good morning, Dr. Resnick. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? I'm just so delighted and thrilled for your introduction.
I wish I could have done this. There was so much, and I get so excited. You know how they say, you know, that your animal, like if you have a dog, will start to look like you, or vice versa.
Right.
So
right.
I'm like my Pomeranian.
Ah.
I get really excited.
You know, I'm especially thrilled to be here because next week is my launch of my new book, The Power of Your Child's Imagination.
Exactly.
Perfect timing. Perfect.
Exactly. Timing. And we're so happy to have you. And there's so many questions that I have for you. So I'd like to make sure, first of all, did I miss anything this morning that we want to cover for our listeners?
I think you did a fabulous job and a long list.
Okay, got it. And so I think it's important that we get into the challenges of growing up in today's rapidly changing society and how our children can be more equipped with the skills for survival, as you suggest, and growth that were never before imagined. So can you give me an idea, first of all, give our listeners an idea of your book and why exactly you chose to bring about this book right now?
I chose to bring it right now because it's needed. So much of our kids' problems are happening so fast, and I see parents come to me with so many different issues, even simple things like not sleeping at night, which I guess is not simple if you're a parent at night, but all kinds of fears, all kinds of worries, not doing well at school, worrying about friends, not getting along with parents, having all kinds of stress symptoms, headaches, stomach aches. And I know, and you know this too, that children have the power inside them through their imagination to help solve all these problems. So parents are great. They're just overwhelmed. And sometimes you don't know what to do when. So I want to help them, give them a little structure so they could choose and find out what's right for their child in what situation. And over these years, I've found that working with kids, they have an amazing imagination that gets sometimes directed in directions we don't want them to go. So I want them to access that for their good and for their own healing. If you ask a child, oh, why'd you do that? They'll generally say, I don't know. Or, But if they calm down and focus inward and maybe they find their own little wise person or animal friend, like you mentioned, mm-hmm. and the animal friend gives them advice, they get the answers. And it's really mm-hmm. still coming from them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
wow.
why I teach them different 9 tools to help them access that information. The first, of course, I call it the balloon breath. It's really a kind of meditative breath. It's the kind
okay.
of breath where you breathe into your belly. And for the little ones, it's easier to imagine a balloon that blows up and your tummy goes out, kind of about 2 to 3 inches below your belly button.
Oh, you're on it. Okay.
Okay. One, two, you know, very slowly up to a count of 3.
Mm.
For the youngest ones, even a 4-year-old knows what a rainbow is, so I'll have them imagine breathing in a beautiful rainbow or filling a rainbow up with love.
Yes.
And for teenagers, they could just do diaphragmic breathing.
Mm.
And I'll show them how to do that. It's all the same. It's all variations of the same. The idea is to slow down enough to connect with the wisdom that's inside.
That's right, slowing down enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I think is a huge connection.
One little girl last week, a new girl, just 5 years old, and she took one of my CDs home to practice, and she comes back and she says, "Don't you have this in a movie form?"
Oh.
The movie's in your head.
That's right.
Because there's so much outside stimulation for children these days
yes.
that I tell them, as much as there is outside, there's that much inside and more.
That's right. So how is it exactly that you share the parents pick this up and bring, you know, address this with their kids? Sometimes it's a little, what are some of the challenges that you see and how do you overcome that?
Well, the challenges parents are having is all their stress today.
Mm-hmm.
And so have a new person getting a divorce, that's very hard on the kids. It's not something that, you know, parents aim to do when they first get married, but sometimes this happens. So how to minimize that for the child. So the
right.
child needs to find a safe place inside to go to, that they have a little respite from the anger at home, for example.
Right.
Even if it's a little mini vacation from their stresses. And that's this kind of my second tool, which is discovering a special place.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a sanctuary inside where you could kind of relax, regroup, solve your own problems. Just have a special place to go inside.
Right.
Even if there's no special place outside.
Oh.
And so a lot of kids will imagine a meadow or being by the beach or Disneyland sometimes even, someplace where they feel good and where everyone they invite in loves and appreciates and accepts them just the way they are. And if they didn't before, once they step through the door, they do. So we set it up so they have a really safe place. And they invite people in that they might not normally have in.
Okay.
And that's where they do their inner work.
The inner work.
Right. The inner work for their developing their own intuition, for trusting mm-hmm. themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they use the rest of the tools to help them with that inner work, to solve whatever problems are before them, whether it's doing better at school, whether it's overcoming headaches, whether it's getting along with their younger brother, anything.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, I have, for example, my children, just to speak from experience, I have a 2.5-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 19-year-old.
Oh.
That.
Bless you.
Thanks. You know. And so there's a huge distinction between all three of them.
Yes.
And looking at how in one household, when there's sometimes chaos happening, and like we like to call it managed chaos, but it's not always managed. Sometimes it's just chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And when a family has so many things going on, let's say they're going through some kind of change, whether it's divorce, a move. Right now it's summertime.
Mm-hmm.
People are moving.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that going on. And how do you have children use that for the process of healing, because that's something right now we're moving. And you know, I know that it's a little challenging for the little girls to understand we're not going back to that home or we have a new home or, you know, all of how can we use that for them to be able to empower themselves with this process?
You could definitely use their imagination for that, for the little ones, especially the 5-year-old. The 2.5, it's a little tricky. Depends on her language.
Mm-hmm.
But so, one, you want to say, you want to remember the house. So they imagine it. They take pictures of the rooms. you want to do a little ritual to say goodbye to the room and then visit the new house and say hello to that. And maybe, depending on what you're doing, if you're bringing the same furniture in, how you want to set it up, and have them imagine before you go over to the new house, what kind of home do they want to create? How would they like their home? Do they want to have a peaceful home? What are the best things about your home now that they'd like to bring into the new home?
Ah.
And what are the things they'd like to let go of? Maybe there was some bickering between the two of them. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'd like to leave that at the old house. In the new house, they want to create something even more special.
Mm. Yes. Okay, so really point... Please go ahead. I apologize for interrupting.
Maybe they have little stuffed animals. Maybe for the youngest one, especially the 2.5-year-old, that could be a special animal friend that's going to help her make the transition. And then with the little animal friend, say goodbye to her room.
That's right.
And
so I...
That one over.
I see. And then what else? Okay, I get that, definitely. And is there anything that you feel would be, let's see, how would I say, would ease the maybe like the discomfort or the, in, you know, somehow to be able to identify that this is, you know, because I remember she's still, our 5-year-old still remembers the very first place that she was born in. And we had to move because we needed more space.
Mm-hmm.
And she still wants to go back to that place.
Sure.
And
it's a loss.
Yes.
It's a loss.
So how do we, I mean, is it really possible to heal something like that?
You heal it, but you don't forget it.
Ah.
So the memory is still here, but maybe the sadness is no longer there.
Interesting.
So you can go visit the last place, so you have pictures of the place.
Mm-hmm.
And also,
and we do. We drive by it all the time.
You can start with the little ones asking, where do they have their feelings? Like if they're sad, close their eyes. Where do they imagine inside their body that sadness is? And what color is it? And what shape is it? And does it have a face or a character? And then maybe where their happy feelings are about the new house, where's that? And do they want to have a little conversation? What do the sad feelings want to say to the happy feelings? What do the happy feelings say back? And then you could even use color. Okay, breathe in after you have this little conversation. Then breathe in the color of the happy feelings throughout wherever they are. Spread them out with your breath, with the balloon breath. Spread them out through your body and see what happens to the sad feelings.
Wow. Okay, that's excellent.
So those are other tools. Those tools are where you keep your feelings, checking in with your other body parts, and using color for healing.
Oh, okay. And so let me ask you this. All of this is in your book, correct?
Yes, yes.
And can you explain how it's, give our listeners an idea of how they can use the book as and how it can be used as something that they can just go to or also something that's a good read?
Yes.
It's used, you know what I'm saying?
Hopefully it's both. The idea,
exactly.
Hopefully it's both.
That's exactly
and
what I'm
And the first part of the book will explain the 9 tools and how to ignite your child's imagination and go into detail with lots of examples. And the second part of the book addresses many different types of common issues like learning to love yourself, being your own best friend, how to overcome loss, death, divorce, and other kinds of losses, winding up with getting along with your family, friends. And so it goes from problems to solutions. And I have tons of examples of kids and how they use their imagery tools, which is beautiful to read. And then lots of how-tos for parents on exactly how to implement, and also quick tips and even backtrack. I call them backtrack alerts, the idea that when something seems to be going wrong, why it really is okay. This is part of the process.
Okay. And now this book, do you consider it something as a how-to, a self-help, a parent? Where would we find this book, and how do we get more information about it?
Well, they can go to my website, which is imageryforkids.com, and, of course, on Amazon. It's on pre-order, and it'll be on order as of August 4th. So there's lots of information on my website, and lots of wonderful people have loved this book, so I'm so pleased about it, because I really feel that it's my work in the last 20 years. I really want as many parents, and not only parents, but therapists, teachers, educators, medical professionals could all benefit.
Got it. And so, okay, that's really what I would like to know is how can you give us an idea of facilitators, therapists, psychologists, how do we use this in the process? How do we use this in for our parents, for our students?
Because once you use the 9 tools and understand them, they're quite easy because, you know, we're just mentioning the balloon breath. It takes a few minutes to understand. Very simple, basic advice. That's wonderful to know about. So you have the balloon breath, right? You have the discovering your special place. Then you start getting little guides, a wise animal friend, or perhaps you need a little bit more magic, so there's encountering a personal wizard. Then there's receiving gifts from these inner guides, and that's what I mentioned when they tell you something or they give you something to help you solve a problem. Like one little boy was having a really hard time sleeping, and he, you know, he'd wake up his parents several times a night, keep going into his room, about 9-year-old boy. And so he imagined a giant, beautiful white dragon protecting his bed.
Oh, how neat.
He was totally protected. And he put a tiger at the door so no bad people could get in through the door.
Mm.
And so that helped him feel safe. And he even talked about his magical world and sort of the real world. So even though he knew this was from the magical realm, it helped him in the real world sleep at night.
Mm. That is amazing, and that's exactly what we're looking for.
Yes, having the children find the answers inside themselves. Mm-hmm. And when we were talking about going inside the body, one of the main tools is checking with your heart and your gut feelings, your belly, because there's so much wisdom there.
Your heart and your gut feeling. Okay, so I understand that. Now, how do I share that, and how do we explain that to our kids? How do we explain that to the adolescents? Because sometimes it's, I think the children are much more available when it comes to this process. Now, let's talk about some of my toughest customers are adolescents.
Right. Well, the teens, what I love telling them and they love hearing is that I do not have your answer. I'm here to help you find your own answers. They're already inside. I'm just going to help you find them.
Mm, how interesting. Okay.
So that really appeals to them because they don't often like people telling them what to do.
Right.
So as a parent or any kind of advisor to teens, that's an easy sell. And then I also find out what's important to them. What do they want to have more of in their life? Mm-hmm. What do they want to change? So it's not necessarily, say, a parent who brings the teen to me. It's not necessarily a parent's agenda, but what does the child want to do? What does the teen want to do? And then from there we can move on. For example, if a teenage boy likes a girl and wants to get her attention, okay, I'll teach him visualization skills to focus on that. And just the idea of him imagining that girl's going to want to talk to him, starts giving him self-confidence enough to actually go over and say something to her.
Oh, how interesting. I see.
Or if a teenage girl is into sports. I have a girl that does volleyball. So I teach her, and that's what her agenda is, whereas the mom's agenda is having her do better at school, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll teach her how to do better in volleyball because visualization has been used with sports for many, many years very effectively.
Right.
And I'll teach her how to do that. And then she could transfer it over, hey, you're doing so well here. What else would you like more of in your life? How about school grades? Would you like that to be easier?
Exactly.
Ask them, find out what's important to them and ask them yes questions, questions you pretty much know they'll say yes to.
Okay. So it's a little, okay. And that takes some brainstorming there sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And each child is different. Mm-hmm. So can you give us an idea of anything in particular that comes to mind when you think of this process, like that was really great, where you gave an example of an a teen that's interested in, you know, really likes a girl, and how that would how he could use that in the process of imagining her being able to strike up a conversation.
Right. Right.
Got it.
So yeah, and he could imagine striking up that conversation and imagine what the conversation would be like.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there are bad things coming in, because of course all the worries come up, mm-hmm. so then we could use his inner computer screen and delete it or change it or see how he wants to change it. So he feels more empowered in the moment. That will give him more courage.
That's right. Okay. Now, go ahead.
Even thinking of a time where he was courageous in his life. What happened in his life that, wow, he was able to do something that he didn't think he could do. Bring that image into his life.
I see. Okay. Now, what about some of our children that we work with that have, let's say, an eating disorder or, you know, do you use this? Because I understand that it's pretty diverse in how you use this process.
Mm-hmm.
Because we do work with children and families of children with special needs.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, some children with eating disorders or, you know, not always just the you know, behavioral process.
Mm-hmm.
So can you give us an idea of how you share with others in the book the kind of tips and techniques that we'll learn to use from this process for, let's say, a young girl that has an eating disorder?
Often, it depends what kind, whether it's anorexia or bulimia or mm-hmm. overeating, but it comes down to a sense of self and loving
mm-hmm.
yourself and seeing your body as what it truly is and appreciating your body for what it does for you and the food it needs to nourish. So I'll often start with an image of of a garden and use that as a metaphor and mm-hmm. see how they plant their garden. One of my CDs helps them develop a healthy garden, a healthy inner garden. And in the book, there's an imagery about health and healing. And the idea is to see yourself growing healthy mm-hmm. and what you need to grow healthy. Bring in whatever nourishment you need, whether it's seeds or watering. So start with an image that's not too close to them so they're not too threatened or defensive.
Okay.
The image of the garden is something they might be able to accept more readily.
Ah.
So, well, like one boy saw his garden as dead, and it was in a group. And what we had was he couldn't think of anything that could help it. So we had the other group members, so if you're in a group with kids, suggest things that could help. Oh, water it. Give it sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
Feed it. And so then he used those images in his imagination, and he was able to see his garden growing.
Ah.
And so that translates on another level inside. The garden, the growing garden, is really a healthy body.
Ah,
and then I'll often put a healing pond there. So while the garden is growing, she could lie down in the healing pond and heal anything that's troubling her physically, emotionally, or spiritually.
Mm.
And then maybe she comes out and looks, one of the flowers speaks to her and gives her a message, like, I love you,
yes.
no matter what.
Oh, I see. I can understand that. I can see the power in that.
Yes.
That's
also addressing the need for being in control or not in control that we know surrounds a lot of eating issues.
Mm.
You could do that in a similar way.
Mm-hmm. I see. And then, okay, so that's excellent, actually. Thank you. That answers exactly what I was looking for. Now, you know what comes to mind for me, Dr. Resnick, is can you explain to me how you started this process and how it came about that you realized that this is so important and how you were having the success with children and parents?
Well, I was desperate. I was working in the inner city. And I was working at a school where there were 1,200 children and 800 were in terrible, terrible shape. And I felt that the traditional ways of counseling were not touching these children. And I needed to try to find something that would touch their hearts and their souls. And so I was at a conference, and someone led us through and had us draw a picture, and then led us through an imagery, and then had us draw again. And the difference was so profound for me.
Oh, explain that to me.
So they said, the conference people said, okay, draw a meadow or stream or whatever, draw that. So I drew it, and it was very simplistic and like a six-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And then they led us through an evocative imagery where they really used words to help us imagine, you know, the lush greens and the sound of the stream and the whistling of the wind and all these colors they put in. That helped elicit my own imagery so that when I drew the picture again, it was much richer and more detailed.
Wow.
So it touched me. I thought, wow, this really moved me somehow. So I felt I would try working with the kids in this way and see what happened. And that's where it started.
I see. And how long ago was this?
25 years ago.
Fabulous. So it's been a while. And so that's what it came from, really, was the experience of needing something that would really make a difference.
Yes. And I started going into classes, so I was able to reach maybe 20 to 30 classes, and reaching 600 kids made a difference, rather than one child or five kids or eight children at a time.
Got it.
Of course, I tried to learn from everyone in this field, and I studied different people along the way and kind of pulled everything together and then found out what worked for the kids I worked with.
Mm. And what have been some particular mentors for you in this process?
First, Hans-Karl Lerner, which he's from Europe. He did a process called guided affective imagery. And Marielle Fuller at UCLA, she's no longer with us, but she used to study with another French woman who was interested in the imagination and imagery. And so I worked with her for a year and a half. And it's just on and on and on.
Wonderful. This is wonderful. And I'm so grateful that you have this available to us. I have just a couple more questions for you. What I'd like to do is take a quick break and come right back. If you don't mind, I'll just ask you to hold on 1 minute and we'll be right back.
Okay.
You're listening to Anger Management Radio with Anutsa Bellissimo, Certified Anger Management Facilitator, providing expert advice for conflict resolution in the workplace, modern parenting strategies, and couples relationships, the official source of stress and anger management education. Here's Anutsa Bellissimo on Anger Management Radio.
Dr. Charlotte Resnick with Imagery for Children, The Power of Your Child's Imagination, and she has a wonderful new book coming out, and we're talking about how you can use this book to help you empower your children in the process and get through some of life's challenging times, and not only your children, but your adolescent, your teens, and adults also. Dr. Resnick, can you just touch base with us again on how parents can start using this for themselves? Now, we were talking about the children and the adolescents, and we're working our way up into how parents would use this, because I think in order to teach your child something, it's important that you know how it feels, what it looks like, and you're available and familiar with the process.
Yes, absolutely. So I really encourage parents to kind of read through and then read it again, considering themselves. Maybe consider their children first and then look at themselves. Like, where's their special place? When's the last time they check with their heart and belly? You know, when have they taken a little, even if it's a 2-minute break, a 1 minute break I start with, mm-hmm. and go inside and just go to the bathroom, close the door.
Mm.
The kids don't bother you. And the idea is they could use it. I felt so strongly about it. I have a whole chapter for parents. Parents need tools too. And there's a lovely imagery at the end to help nurture the parents because they need appreciation.
Mm.
You know, you don't
mm-hmm.
get enough appreciation as a parent. And in fact, I felt so strongly, I made CDs for the parent, a CD for parent support.
Oh.
Production now. It's called The Cave of Great Wisdom.
Oh, that's I love that title because I was going to ask you about climbing a mountain of success.
Yes.
And sharing with us a couple of the other things that you have for relaxation. And so tell me about the first CD, the one that you just mentioned.
The Cave of Great Wisdom?
Yes.
I felt so strongly that I had to put information to support parents as well. It's not just a book for parents to help their children, but it's to help them support themselves.
Oh, wow.
There's not anything more challenging in the world, I don't think, than being a parent. And parents want to be the best parent they can be, and no one ever has the time for it, or there's just it's overwhelming. So hopefully this will help. And so I've made there are imageries at the back of the chapters, but I've also taken it upon myself to make them in the studio so you could just plug it in and listen.
Oh.
And so I did that for all the chapters in the book, for the 9 tools, for all the subjects. So that'll all be available.
Wonderful. Okay, and so let me just check in. You're listening to SAMI Radio with Dr. Charlotte Resnick, and we're talking today about, well, first of all, I'd like to talk how to help your children develop inner success, which is one of your CDs, and we're going over your book, Imagery for Kids. And I noticed, because you have a great blog, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, and I want people to make sure that they go and check it out. You have a great blog, and you have good information, and it's easy to read, and it's very powerful. So you have this CD, Help Children Develop Inner Success. And can you, you know, share with some parents what that's about? Because I have just 2 or 3 more questions for you before I let you go.
Sure. The Climbing a Mountain of Success, it comes from a long time ago because there's a young girl in one of those inner-city schools, and she came to me about 10 years later, and she said to me, you know, she was like student body president, and she said, whenever I'm on the stage, I always think of that mountain that you took us to, the top of the mountain. And the idea is the climbing the mountain of success is like life. Mm-hmm. There are many mountains in life, but if
yes.
you have the right tools, you could reach it. And so on this CD, they meet a guide, it's an animal friend, I believe, that has all the tools for them and helps them get to the top, to achieve whatever goal they want, to achieve whatever success they want. And when they reach the top, they also, in the distance, meet someone that's very wise and loving, and as the person gets closer, they realize it's the best parts of themselves. So they have a double dose of taking the best parts of themselves in.
Oh, wow. I love this, Dr. Resnick. This is amazing.
Thank you.
Oh.
And the book is called The Power of Your Child's Imagination, How to Transform Stress and Anxiety into Joy and Success.
Yes, and it's a very beautiful book, by the way.
Thank you.
You did a wonderful job. And are you going to be lecturing or training anywhere in the near future?
Yes. Well, next Tuesday is the launch at Diesel Bookstore, if anyone's in the L.A. area. That's in Brentwood.
Oh, Diesel Bookstore.
Yeah, at 7 o'clock at the Brentwood Country Mart on 26th and San Vicente. And then they could always follow me on my website and see what's up next.
Wonderful. And can you give us your website address?
Sure. It's imageryforkids.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that's F-O-R. And if they sign up, they'll get my top 10 tips on what kids really want and need from their parents.
Mm.
And then I'll let them know what's happening.
Wonderful. Okay, here I have a question for you that I think you can help some of our listeners, because I know this is a popular question for mm-hmm. some of our parents. How do you get dad to get involved in imagery and a process of self-empowerment if it's something that they have never really been familiar with? Or how do you get dads on board? Because I know I have a lot of moms on board for this
right,
for this information.
Right.
And,
I usually get about 10 moms to one dad at a workshop, so
mm-hmm.
we'll have more moms. But it, I think you could, you have to relate it to what's important to the dads and how they think. So they're thinking all the time in their, say, in their work or in their activities. If they're playing golf, you could relate it to sports if they're interested in sports.
Oh, okay.
It very easily.
And okay, break that down for us.
Okay, so if you're a
because
golfer,
it's easy for you.
There are books.
You have to enlighten us.
This is the Tao of tennis and, you know, the inner game of tennis. It's all about a mind game. And so you could relate to them on more of a mental level. Mm. So if they want to achieve in golf, they start imagining getting that ball into that hole very quickly.
That's
so they're
right.
Already they're thinking about it, and that's the same as imagining. Because when we think, we often have pictures. And you don't even have to have pictures in your mind. It could be just a feeling or a sense. Everyone imagines in different ways.
Right.
One dad, in fact, said to me, he said he went to a special place because I led them through a little workshop, and he said in his special place there was a tissue box, and there was a message, it was okay to cry, which, of course, men are not really encouraged to do in our society.
Mm.
So that was really helpful for him. Or another dad who was also happened to be a therapist said he doesn't see pictures. He hears music. So when he thinks about love, he has this passionate sonata. Or if he thinks about anger, it's a very strong musical piece. So everyone's a little bit different. But get the dads wherever they are. They're interested in sports, talk to them about that. If they're really working really hard, how do they create a project? Don't they think it through first? Don't they create sort of pictures in their mind? It's the same kind of a thing. What would you like to create? Gosh, when you married me, what did you imagine our marriage would be like?
Oh.
What kind of family did you want to have?
I see.
And then you take the steps to get there.
Okay. That's excellent, because I know that that's a really important topic, is to have both parents, whether they're together in a divorce or not, but supporting each other in this process so that the children can receive the benefit of this material, of this experience.
Yes. Yeah, I had a mom come in the other day, and she said, please, give me a second CD. I want one at Dad's house and one at Mom's house. I don't want to have to take it back and forth.
Oh.
So if you can get the parents on the same page, that's wonderful. And, of course, both parents love their children tremendously. So focus on that. Focus on that you love your child.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what could guide you.
Okay. So can I ask you for a little more detail? Because I tend to be one of those people. Let's just say that I like structure, and I really enjoy the structure. And, yeah. You know, can you give us an idea of when you think is an appropriate time to integrate this into, you know, your life as a parent, as into the children's lives? Is there, you know, can we set up some structure around this?
Yes, of course. And I usually start at the earliest ages, at 4 or 3, just with playing with the imagination. Mm. Like even when you're driving in the car and you're seeing the signs and there's a sign for a travelogue, gosh, what would it be to go to Africa on that safari? What kind of animals would we see? And just play with the imagination. That's so important. Whatever age your child is, that's when to start, because this is when you're hearing the information. And wherever your child is in his or her life, that's when to start. If she's interested in, you know, even dressing better, you know, have her imagine what she'd like to look like. If he wants to do better, you know, wants to have more friends on his team, great. Who would you like to have? What do you imagine having? How many more friends would you like to have? Or a boy who had a spelling test, he would get like 26 errors on a paragraph wrong. Okay. How many would you like to have? So he'd start imagining. He brought in a wizard to kind of help him whisper the spelling answers into his brain. And then gradually, his errors went down to 3 or 4.
Oh, that's really, I could chill.
Or everybody's doing homework. So before you sit and you do your homework, just sit down, go inside, do your deep breathing, your balloon breath. Imagine cleaning out your brain so everything's all, you know, bright. Clear out any negativity and worries that you can't do it, and you'll spiff up those really bright parts and imagine the information being absorbed into your brain easily.
That is perfect. I can see that. I can really get a clear picture of when would be a good time. So let's say when they're, you know, about to do their homework, before you do the homework, you can do that. And then do you suggest, of course, I think that you just mentioned that earlier of, you know, before you go to bed, is there too much? Is there a point where it can become too much, or is there too little?
Too much or too little. Okay, I would say if you're starting to learn the simple balloon breath, you start with three breaths. Then you move up to a minute, which is might be 10 breaths for a child. And then after a few weeks, you practice another minute. So you do it gradually because you don't, I think you make a good point, you don't want to overwhelm them with too much. So you just gradually incorporate it in their life. Of course,
okay.
If you're having a crisis and you have to address it right away, well, you might do some more. But just
okay.
For the everyday run-of-the-mill child and parent, to start mm-hmm. gradually incorporating it and find the things that's important to them.
So you say about a minute.
Yes.
Because that's a long time for a child.
Right. That's why I said three breaths.
Okay.
Breaths. And then what I'll do is I'll time them for a minute. I mean, not the 2.5-year-old. Maybe
okay.
not even the 5-year-old. Maybe 30 seconds. Maybe do three breaths. I often put little colored dots. I give them a strip of dots and say put a blue dot somewhere that maybe they're a little... that makes them a little nervous or when they're walking out the door, as a reminder, do three deep balloon breaths.
Oh.
And then I give them a strip with lots of colors because, after all, they won't notice that it's a blue dot and it'll fade into the background, so change it to red. Notice it again.
Interesting. Okay.
Throughout the day, just center yourself. That'll help you check in with what you really feel and believe. Even putting their hand over their heart or the center of their chest where their heart center is, and doing a balloon breath and just checking in. What's my heart? How am I feeling?
Mm-hmm.
Does my heart have something to say to me? What's the message?
Perfect. Boy, you have some really powerful process and information, and I'm so grateful that you were able to take the time to be with our listeners today and to allow me to interview through this process of this great book. It's wonderful. And, again, tell us where you'll be, I guess, next week here in Los Angeles?
Next Tuesday, August 4th at 7 o'clock at Diesel Bookstore. It's a lovely independent bookstore in the Brentwood Country Mart on the southeast corner of 26th and San Vicente Boulevard in Brentwood, Santa Monica area.
Beautiful. Oh, and then one last time, if you could give us your website address again.
www.imageryforkids.com. And that's imageryforkids.com. And there's
perfect.
Lots of articles on there, too, that they
there
can
are.
Access. Yes.
You're an amazing human being. You're so
okay.
wonderful. Thank you.
Too kind.
Thank you so much, honestly, because we need this. We need this, and I know how important it is to be there and make a stand or be a stand for our children today.
Thank you,
yes, you're welcome. You are making the world a better place, Dr. Resnick. Thank you so much. And I appreciate you taking the time to be on SAMI Radio today. And we'll make sure to get this information out to everyone once again for your book launch on next Tuesday. And, again, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your great work.
Oh, thank you. We love what we do. Isn't it amazing?
Yes.
It's a great place to be. So I want to thank everyone for listening today. And, again, you can check out Dr. Charlotte Resnick's work at imageryforchildren.com.
Kids.
I'm sorry, imageryforkids.com. And that's I-M-A-G-E-R-Y, the letter or the word for, excuse me, F-O-R, kids, K-I-D-S.com. And please go out and get this book. It's amazing and it's very helpful. And it's not just for kids. It starts with you, mom and dad. So thanks again for being a conscious parent. And until next week, make it a fabulous day.
You're listening to Anger Management Radio with Anutsa Bellisi.